Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The radio home of the Buffalo Sabres, live from KeyBank Center. This is the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show. Visit your local Upstate Honda dealers today. Here's your host, Brian Cozio.
Season finale here at home at KeyBank Center ends in a win for the Sabres, a 4-2 final over the Washington Capitals as we welcome you to the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show. I'm Brian Cozio, live here at the press box. The Sabres, as we speak, taking their jerseys off their back and giving it to the fan that has won it tonight, signing some autographs, taking some pictures, and as the team greeting the fans that won down at the Zamboni entrance as we welcome you back here on the post game. We'll get you down to the locker room as soon as the players head there in just a little bit. Paul Hamilton will be there with player reaction. But Buffalo getting it done by a 4-2 score. So let's take you through the highlights of this one. And one goal in the first period. We go all the way to the 19-minute mark. Jeff Skinner fires a shot. Zach Benson tips it home to put Buffalo on the board first.
Krebs comes up top. Clearly the Sabres cycling their forwards high in the zone. Scores! Skinner threw that one to the net.
Yeah, I think Zach Benson might have got a piece of that, Danny.
And he indeed is taking the first lead down the line. Number 9 makes it 1-0 Buffalo.
So Benson gets his 10th from Skinner and Krebs, and that was our score after one period of play. To the second we go, and Buffalo increasing their lead. A nice setup for Alex Tuch for his 22nd of the season.
In across the Capitals line, Thompson drops it. Layers here, Tuch scores! Layers, 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 and Alex Tuch puts it in to put Buffalo up 2-0 with 7:23 to go in the second.
So Tuck's 22nd, Joki Haru and Thompson set him up, 2-0 Sabres at 12:37. The Capitals, though, get on the board just a few minutes later. McMichael beating Clegg to the net, and the Caps cut the lead in half.
Looking for a quick strike here. Pacioretty in front, they score. McMichael goes to the net. Pacioretty fed it in front, and it is the first goal of the game for the Capitals on their second shot of the period.
So McMichael gets his 18th on a nice setup from Pacioretty at 14:36. 2-1 Buffalo. That was the score through 40 minutes. We go to the third, and here comes the game winner for the Sabres. A nice long toe drag from Jack Quinn, his 8th of the year.
Back comes Connor Clifton, 3-on-2 on the entry on this side. Quinn walks it in, holds it, drags it through, scores! The buddy Quinn! That's a beauty, baby. It's 3-1 Buffalo with 10:14 to go here in the third period.
Quinn's game winner, his 8th from Clifton and Greenway at 9:46 of the third. It's the NOCO Play of the Game, brought to you by NOCO, the official natural gas and electric supplier to the Buffalo Sabres. So Quinn, his 8th there, puts Buffalo up 3-1, and then Dylan Cousins seals it into the empty net.
That hit the linesman, and that's going to give a chance here for Dylan Cousins to put it in the empty net, and he does. 4-1 Buffalo with 2:17 to go here in the third period.
Cousins gets his 16th from Greenway and Yoki Haru, who both get their second assist of the night there. That made it a 4-1 Saber lead. But with 1 minute left, Washington making it a little more interesting as Wilson gets his 18th.
They got one there.
42.
Working the puck to the front of the net, 4-2, and they've got a full minute left on the clock.
So Tom Wilson's 18th from Oshie and Ovechkin. Sabres did a nice job keeping Ovechkin off the score sheet all night up until there. 4-2 the score, but the Sabres able to kill off that final minute and win it by a score of 4-2. So those are your highlights here on the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame. We will be heading down to Paul Hamilton in just a moment to get player reaction from this win here in the home finale. Let's get some final stats, though, brought to you by Level Financial Advisors, helping you retire better. Visit levelfa.com. Shots were 24-17 in favor of the Capitals. There was only one power play in the entire game. One penalty called at the end there. Wilson goes for tripping, and he has Buffalo there on the man advantage. Buffalo couldn't score. There were actually five penalties called at the 20-minute mark with those fighting. Four majors for fighting. Wilson, Pacioretty, Greenway, and Thompson, and then Dahlin got an extra 2 minutes for interference. That's what kind of caused it all. Oshie came across the blue line. Dahlin stepped into him, interfered with collision, and then that's what started the fights. Greenway, Thompson, Wilson, and Pacioretty all get five-minute majors at the 20-minute mark there at the end of the game. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen gets the win, 22 saves. Charlie Lindgren, the loss, just 13 saves for him in his time in the nets tonight. Buffalo did score one into the empty net. So there are your final stats as the Sabres get this done tonight by a score of 4-2. Let's talk injury report here next, brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' compensation and personal injury attorneys working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. You may have noticed no Bo Byram tonight for the Sabres. He was out, but not due to an injury, but due to personal reasons. He should be meeting the team in Florida for their next game, which will be on Saturday. There was a couple of moments in the game where Dahlin, I thought, was shaking his wrist. He did go off in the first period, grabbing his hand or wrist area, kind of sat at the end of the bench sideways. Trainers looked at him, but then he didn't miss a shift after that. Dahlin able to finish off and even got in a fight there toward the end with that interference penalty on Oshie that led to all of those little extra skirmishes at the end of the game. But Dahlin still doing his normal stuff in terms of ice time and impact on the game. We'll get you his final stats here coming up in just one moment. Again, Paul Hamilton awaiting outside the Sabres room. We'll have player reaction coming up here in just a moment as Buffalo gets another win tonight. For Dahlin, in terms of more stats here, 21-26 of ice time, three shots, three hits, two block shots. So even though he doesn't get on the score sheet with points, a really nice night all around for him as he, as usual, leading the way for the Sabres. Although Owen Power did have a little bit extra minutes on the ice than him, 22:55 of ice time. Dahlin was second on the team. Pretty well-balanced score sheet in terms of time on ice tonight for Don Granato's club. So that'll do it for the home finale here. There are two more games left on the road. Saturday afternoon in Florida against the Panthers, and then Monday night against the Tampa Bay Lightning at 7 o'clock, and we'll have both those games for you right here on the Sabres Radio Network with, of course, pregame ahead of time both times on our flagship station on WGR. 4-2 Buffalo wins it here as the home season comes to an end on our Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show. We'll be getting locker room reaction here in a moment from Paul. We'll also be getting Don Granato's postgame comments. We'll get you scores from around the NHL, update you on the standings. There was a huge game in the East. We'll talk about that, though, later. Zach Benson is now live with Paul.
Thanks, Brian. Zach, you got it started. Kind of a typical goal for you, head to the net, tip it in. But that's your 10th goal. You got into double figures as an 18-year-old rookie. Does that mean something to you to be able to get into double figures in the NHL in your first year for goals?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's nice to contribute. You know, just a great play by Skinny, Krebsy, Yoki. Everyone that was on the ice there is just great puck movement all around. And then, you know, Skinny found a lane and, you know, was fortunate to tip it.
Obviously, it's something you work on. You seem to have a pretty good knack at tipping pucks.
Yeah, it's definitely something that I like to work on. You know, I tend to be in front of the net, you know, quite a bit. So, you know, it's nice when you can tip the odd one in.
You guys just had gotten eliminated in Dallas, but how nice is it to come home on the last home game of the year and, you know, play well. I mean, to go out and to be able to get a win. You've won 7-9 now in this building. How nice was it, even though you're eliminated, to go out and play and get a win?
Yeah, I mean, it's huge. You know, these fans are such great fans, so, you know, it's nice to win in front of them. And, you know, these last three games, we had the mentality that we, you know, we want to win them all. And, you know, we just want to compete. So, you know, I thought we played a complete 60 and, you know, all around good game.
Is it hard for you being eliminated like that to be able to play like that? Or is it you love to play hockey and let's go?
Yeah, exactly. You love to play hockey. You know, in a month from now, you're going to be, you know, dying to come back and start playing again. So, you know, you definitely don't take it for granted. And you want to go out there and, you know, win hockey games.
Zach, is there one singular thing that you can point to as a building block as your team moves forward? You know, you come off a win like this, two games left. What makes you optimistic about the future?
You know, I thought we were smart with our decisions tonight. You know, pucks were getting in deep tonight and playing behind them. So, you know, I thought tonight we played a really mature game, and you know, I really look forward to the future with this group. I think we got a lot of talented guys in this room.
Thank you, Zach. Zach Benson on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Zach Benson getting to the double digit mark in goals, his 10th of the season. A very, very nice opening year for Zach Benson, the 18-year-old coming through for the Sabres this year. We know a lot of the Sabre forwards underachieved statistically in terms of what they did from last year to this year. And we know Benson, we didn't have a pro year last year in the NHL to talk about. But boy, what a nice surprise for Don Granato and Kevin Adams to get this guy on the ice. Not only to get this guy in the draft, you got it. More in a moment, though. Back to the locker room. Here's Alex Tuck live.
It's there, but we were able to score when it counted. And we were playing pretty good defensively. Oopie, once again, played great. I thought we did a good job in our D zone and getting pucks out and limiting their chances, limiting their odd man rushes, and yeah, good 60-minute win.
Alex Tuck, and we also have Dylan Cousins over here speaking.
It's been going for a long time. Yeah, obviously a disappointing season. We had high expectations for ourselves, and you know, we expected to be in the playoffs, and that was our goal. And to not be there, it sucks. You know, we all feel like we let a lot of people down, and it's going to hurt this offseason for sure. But we got to take what we can from it and learn as much as we can. You know, we obviously didn't play nearly as good as we could, and we were in it till the end. So we got to just look at it as positively as we can and learn as much as we can, and just be extremely motivated this offseason and know that we're all going to work as hard as we can to make sure that the Buffalo Sabres are in the playoffs next year.
Kind of going off of that, I mean, how nice is it just to know that you could end your home finale here with a win tonight in front of so many fans?
Yeah, it was big. Obviously, it's tough going out and playing games after you've been eliminated, but we wanted to have a good showing for our fans in the last home game and finish on a good note at home going into next year. So, you know, it sucks. We know we disappointed a lot of people. We disappointed ourselves. But all we can do is work hard and come back better next year.
As you said, it's hard, but yet there's a lot of pride involved too in these last three games.
For sure. We know we got to play hard to the end. You know, there's a lot of competitive people in this room, and you know, it sucks playing the games after you're already eliminated. But you know, we're going to work to the end and go out and play hard every game until the season's over. And You know, we learned a lot this year, and it is only going to help us in the long run. We know it's a disappointment. We know there's no excuses. We know we can only blame ourselves. But, you know, we're going to come back as motivated as ever, and we're going to make this city proud.
Thank you, Dylan. Dylan Cousins on the post game. Brian, back to you.
Well, Dylan Cousins there, I mean, saying a lot of the things that I know fans want to hear. I mean, Cousins, super, just, a likable player. I thought, you know, in terms of the all-around game from him, it was exactly what Kevin Adams and Don Granato would want, what Sabre fans would want. But he took a step back for sure this year offensively. He's never not owned up to that, though. Every time, even right there, he says, you know, he's a big part of maybe what has to get better. I think Cousins still is a leader on this team. I could see him maybe wearing an A next year on his jersey. Paul Hamilton talked to Rasmus Dahlin about maybe being the captain next year. He seems like he's on board with that. Paul and I will talk a little bit more about maybe the captaincy and who's next and who might wear letters on the pregame show on Saturday when the Sabres take on Florida. But Cousins, obviously a season that he probably feels like was a really, really step back for him. He even said to Paul at some point during one of the interviews over the course of the season, how he's like, look, I'm getting paid a lot of money to score. And he's like, I'm not. I mean, coming into tonight, he had 15 goals. Obviously, he adds this one tonight to get up to 16 into the empty net. But he knows in terms of what he's getting paid to do and what needs to happen offensively. He definitely has said that he's underachieved for sure. Those are our blue and gold locker room reports brought to you by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Early detection of cancer is our goal. Get in the game at roswellpark.org/WGR. 4-2 Buffalo beating Washington. We'll keep it here. We expect to have more from the locker room here on our Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show, so don't go anywhere. We'll also have Don Granato's postgame comments coming up. We'll also get Paul Hamilton's take here as the Sabres win the home finale. Back to the room. Jack Quinn is now live with Paul.
Jack, it's not often that you have a defenseman screening the goaltender for you, and you did on your goal with Clifton there. How nice was it to see him rotate in and do that?
Yeah, it was a great play. He did a great job with a kick and drive kind of, and brought the D all the way back, so I had a lot of room to kind of make my move.
They seemed determined just to try to play defense, away for you guys to make mistakes. How did you eventually, break through?
Yeah, I think we just stuck with it. I mean, we didn't try to force it. We were able to play that game as well and just kind of take what was given, and eventually we wore on them and were able to get a couple.
Jackie.
Your goal kind of illustrates confidence. Eight games back, how confident are you right now? How much are you feeling it, I guess?
Yeah, I'm feeling it pretty good, I would say. Like I said, I think a few games ago, the first few games, I felt a little behind and then kind of found my stride. And probably once I scored the pair of goals here at home, I felt a lot better.
Yeah, coming off being eliminated in Dallas, you come in here, get a win. I know it's not easy to get up for a game when that happens, but how did you guys do it to be able to get up for this game and to be able to win it?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously we're not happy we're eliminated, but I mean, we still love the game and we love to compete, so it's no different. Go out there and have fun and do our best to win.
Thank you, Jack Quinn, on the post game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Paul, thank you very much. Jack Quinn there with Paul. Quinn ends up getting the game winner tonight, 9:46 into the third period, his eighth of the season. That made the score 3-1, and the Sabres go on to win that by a score of 4-2. Quinn's injuries obviously really, really set back his season. I think his impact for most of the time that he played this year, even though it ends up being only what feels like just a little more than a quarter of the season, 25 games now for him, that, he is going to have to be a really good offensive threat for Buffalo next year. I think he's a top six player. I think he fits in well on that second line for the Sabres. He definitely has offensive ability to score. I would think that when Kevin Adams decides what to do the offseason, trying to figure out who's making up the top six, I think Thompson obviously is there, Tuck's obviously there, but Turka has earned a spot either on that line or in the top six. Probably Quinn. Now, is there another center maybe to come in or another winger to come in to play in that top six so that you can kind of rebuild the bottom two lines? I think I agree with what Paul said in the beginning of pregame tonight that, look, the third and the fourth line need a total revamp. Who knows who will be coming up from Rochester? Who knows who may be coming in from free agency? And again, who knows maybe via trade, via draft, via free agency, who can maybe still be a part of the forwards? I think Buffalo knows their top 4D is pretty much set right now with Dahlin and Byram and Power and Samuelson. Connor Clifton, I thought, did play well, that he can be a part of your last pair, and then who knows, maybe defensively, who else could be in that mix at that point. Bryson, I thought, played well in his times there, as he got quite a good amount of action in the final stretch there of the season. Maybe he's your 6/7, along with, does Joki Haru get more time like that? I think the D is pretty solid when you look at those four, when you add in the middle stat for Byram trade. And then the goalies, I would expect it to be Luukkonen and Levi next year, and that seems to be set. So, where does the roster look for going forward? I think Kevin Adams has to be thinking all about the forwards, especially upgrading the bottom six. And you look at the teams that are ahead of the Sabres or teams that are regularly in the playoffs,
You've got to really think about the fact that they have just depth. They've got the ability to have a line that's really hard to play against. Does Buffalo really have one of those lines? Got a couple of players, but I don't know if you really have like a line that you would really say is like, man, this is a line you don't want to see out there. It's tough to really play against. You don't get it. All right. I don't know if we'll have more from the room or if – okay, that'll be it from the room. All right, so at this time, we're going to say goodbye to all of our local affiliates. If you want to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com. Sabres win it 4-2. When we come back here on the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame, we'll have Don Granato's pot comments. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take, get you some more scores and standings updates as the Sabres win the home finale 4-2 over Washington. I'm Brian Colziel. Thanks for listening. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Protas near circle, slides it down low for Strome. Far side, drops it back, everyone's down, there's the shot, and the pad saved by Luukkonen is a good one as he corrals the rebound.
Dan Dunleavy there on the call. Ukko Pekka Luukkonen faced 24 shots, made 22 saves. That one is our save of the game, brought to you by your Upstate Honda dealers. To see the exciting all-new Honda lineup, visit your local Upstate Honda dealer today. Welcome back to KeyBank Center here on the Press Box. Brian Colziel with you on your Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show. We'll be heading to the room here in just a few moments to hear from Sabres head coach Don Granato. If you're in your car listening on your ride home, we appreciate you listening. Your drive home brought to you by Paddock Chevrolet with you for the extra mile. Well, this is a costly loss for the Capitals and kind of surprising in the sense that they didn't play yesterday. You would figure maybe they'd have a little bit more jump. And the Sabres, both the game tonight was just kind of, blah, I'll call it blah. Not a ton of up and down, back-to-back scoring chances sort of scenarios. I would say it was kind of blasé overall. For the Sabres, I thought it was a pretty solid effort. They didn't generate tons and tons of offensive opportunities. They only had 17 shots in total, but they capitalized on their chances. And look how the goals were scored. Zach Benson, a redirect going toward the net, similar how Dallas did it the other night and how we've been complimentary of the Stars, how good that they did. Good passing on the Tuck goal, really working together. Tuck gets that whole play started back at his own end. He's really good defensively, kind of taking the puck away or shielding the puck as he's trying to make a play. I really think Tuck has had a really good second half of the year. He had a very poor first half, but I think he's had a really good second half for the Sabres. And the Quinn goal, that's a skilled goal scorer's play, the long toe drag through the middle of the slot, and then a real nice wrister to beat Charlie Lindgren on that play that gave the Sabres that 3-1 cushion and ended up being the game winner there tonight for the Sabres. All right, let's talk three stars. Zach Benson, star number three. He had his 10th goal. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, 22 saves. He was star number two. And Alex Tuck for the Sabres, first star with his 22nd goal of the season. He is star number one. And Alex Tuck tonight is our electric player of the game. When you brought to you by Town Ford. When you think of Ford, think of Town Ford. The announced attendance tonight here at KeyBank Center was 15,454 on fan appreciation night. The team taking the jerseys off in front of the fans that won it and go down and sign and take a picture and have a nice little conversation with the fans there. That is one of the best traditions, I think, that the team, I know other teams do it too, but I really think it's a cool moment there to be one-on-one there with a player, signing the jersey for you, taking the picture, having a little conversation before the game comes to an end. What's next for the Sabres? Well, two games, you know, meaningless in the standings for them. Florida is next, followed by Tampa. What does it mean for those teams? Well, the Panthers get their second shutout in a row. They shut out Columbus tonight by a score of 4-0, and Tampa lost in a shootout to Ottawa 3-2. So let's see what this will mean. The Panthers will still be playing for something, even including a division title. They are right now 1 point back of the Bruins. Boston has 107, and the Panthers have 106. So that will be where they will end up going into the game on Saturday. Boston won't play until Saturday night at 8 in Pittsburgh. So Florida would have a chance to beat Buffalo and move ahead of the Bruins for first place into the Atlantic. Is that an advantage? I think I would say so. If you're finishing second in the Atlantic, whether it ends up being Boston or Florida, if you finish second, you're going to face Toronto in the first round, which I think, you know, a super talented team. All right, back downstairs we go. Don Granato is now live.
Especially after the team being eliminated to get the game that you got and the win that you got, I would imagine you're pretty pleased with that.
Yeah, under the circumstances, knowing, you know, they're fighting for their life, obviously very experienced team, a lot of pride over there, a lot of fight over there. That was it. Very challenging first period. I thought our guys were excellent in defending, and then we had a, you know, I thought our second period was great, but there's no doubt we had to dial in today. And credit to our guys, they did, and kind of took, it wasn't until the second that we got to our game when we did. It was, I think we just gave up two chances in the second, and it was us turning pucks over in the neutral zone, and both of them are doing. So I like the fight through the start, and I like the fight to finish. The middle period was a real good one.
They seem very focused on defending, probably because of the way the last game went between you guys. How did you eventually break through what they were doing?
Well, we didn't break ourselves. I think that's number one, number one key. You know, we stayed with it. Again, we had to defend hard in the first. We did that, and you know, we didn't give them anything easy in return. And that allowed us to eventually get to the pace that we felt. You know, and it's, as you mentioned, we just beat them a week ago, and it's not easy. You know they're going to come in here with a different whatever game plan, strategy, focus, you know, any of that or all. And you know, I thought our guys handled it very well, as I said, from a competitive level, and then from the level that we minimized mistakes. Defended hard, minimized mistakes until we could get to our game. And like I said, it wasn't until the second period you saw our pace, and I thought that was a different situation at that point.
Does it mean something for Zach Benson, 18-year-old Zach Benson, to get into double figures in goals in his first year? Does that mean something?
Well, I'm sure it does, yeah. And you know, personally, when I see it, it's nice to see. You know, a guy gets into double digits and you factor in his age. And you know, no way, shape, or form did we think he would be on our roster before training camp started when we drafted him last June. You just don't think a kid that age can do it. But he has been impressive from day one of training camp. And, you know, that was a big goal tonight, real big goal in an area that's a gritty, tough area. front of the net. He found his way there, and he's proven that he's belonged here this year.
Jack Skoll illustrated to you, obviously moved with authority, very confident. I guess what did you see?
What I saw was on the entry play. That it was one of those plays where you just know on the entry, the kick out drive, Clifton very patient carrying it through neutral ice and push the D back, and the way that entry happened, you knew there was going to be time for Quinn to corral a puck, and by virtue of that, it's one of those plays where you know you're on the bench, he is going to score. He is going to have too much time and space to prep a puck, and if you allow, you know, almost anybody in this league that much time, if they, and I shouldn't say allow, Clifton created that much time and space for Quinn to corral that puck, and it's a tough spot for a goalie to be in. These guys can pick you apart from that range, that close with that much time, and you just knew Jack was going to find the net on that one.
You know, a lot of questions the last 2 years about playing at home. A lot of these guys certainly will be back next year. What do they take from finishing 9-3 at home? Putting a stretch like that together, we haven't really seen.
Well, you know, that's an absolute positive that you finish with that record at home, and they know it. Henry Yokoharu just handed the sword for the player of the game in that locker room, and he said very little, but he did reference the fact that it was big to win at home, and we need to do that next season. So clearly that locker room is very well aware of that.
And, you know, sometimes you wonder with somebody that age if they'll hit that rookie wall. But what do you make of the way that he seemed like he got more productive as the season went along and just kept elevating?
Yeah, I mean, that in itself is very, very impressive because every player hits a wall at some point during the year. It's just such a it's a marathon. It's a battle, and you're banged up, and, you know, you fall out of rhythm, fall out of sync. And he did. There was a couple spells in there that you know, he didn't look like himself, and your mind goes, you know, thinks about, oh, geez, he's a young guy. He hasn't played, you know, he's never played at this level. You know, is he going to pull out of it? But his, you know, his character, habits, traits, love of the game, all that, and his, you know, his intelligence, he pulled out of it, and, you know, he's finishing and been finishing strong here.
I know you said before that you like to see aggressive emotions out of the guys when it counts, just the way the game ended to see Greenway and Tage fighting for what was on the ice. What does that tell you about their passion in the game, even after elimination, but still what's on the ice?
Yeah, I had every guy, all five guys. It was, that's what I liked, all five guys. And I think it was Thompson that took a hit that was, you know, it was extra. It was a late game hit when basically the game was over, and it was Dahls that came in on that. And that's when everything started. But I, you know, love the fact that that, you know, all five of those guys were involved very quick, decisively, and loved it. Loved everything about it.
I know the focus is always on this team and getting the best out of this team. Is there anything extra you can take out of it, of making the playoff run a lot more difficult for an opponent?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to focus on your team. I wouldn't dare go there. I guess I don't even like, you're a hockey player. You should want to win in your own backyard against your brother, is the way I look at it, and you know, that's how I want our team to play. You know, just win, just compete. Like I said, that's why I like to compete at the end of the game. So that's good enough for me, man. That's win the game. Thank you.
All right, that is Sabres head coach Don Granato following the 4-2 win over the Washington Capitals here in the home finale. As we bring you back up here to the Ted Darling Memorial Press Box, Brian Colsey with you on your Upstate Honda Dealers post-game show. 4-2, the final. Before we take a timeout here, let's get in our Clinton Collision hit of the game. Clinton Collision, we're there when you need a repair. And that was to the fight toward the end of the game. And a pretty wild scene. Evan, if we got it queued up, let's hear how Dan and Rob called it here as Darlene runs into Oshie and the skirmish ensues.
Oh, here we go. And at the end of the play, Rasmus Dahlin. Look out, Capitals are coming.
Yeah, somebody's got to get a hold of Wilson.
He's the most dangerous one out there.
Strome, Oshie is throwing punches at someone Dalvin, being held by the linesman.
Yeah, he's coming in the backside on Dalvin.
And Tage Thompson against the boards has a pretty good hold of somebody, and they might let him go. Thompson and Pacioretty.
Yeah, good thing Greenway's got.
Greenway's.
He's got Tommy
Thompson
Wilson.
And Pacioretty are gone. Right hands by Tage Thompson on Pacioretty. Thompson's letting him go. Upper hook. Wilson up top now on Greenway as they start slugging at one another. Thompson keeps throwing bombs. Greenway and Wilson as well. Pacioretty and Tage still on their feet going at it.
Beautiful way to end this one.
Rob loving life there. He doesn't get to see too many of those left in the NHL these days, but there's your Clinton collision hit of the game. Dalene running into Oshie, and yes, four penalties were called there at the end for fighting. If you maybe left the building or left the broadcast there, Dalene did get 2 minutes for interference on the play. Wilson jumps in, gets 5 for fighting. Pacioretty jumps in, 5 for fighting. Greenway, 5 for fighting. Thompson, 5 for fighting. All right, 4-2 Buffalo. Timeout. We'll get Paul Hamilton's take when we return here on the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show. Thanks for listening here. Sabres win the home finale. I'm Brian Colziel. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's Pacioretty, takes the shot. There is a rebound. McMichael trying to get there, but Lukanen's got the splits going on, and he's got the glove on top of the puck.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, one of his 22 saves in the game. Dan Dunleavy on the call. We welcome you back to KeyBank Center on the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show. Brian Colziel with you. Thanks for being with us. 4-2 win in the home finale. Buffalo did finish the year strong at home. They needed a strong finish, and we know they're still going to come up maybe a few points short in the end, but one of the things I know Paul Hamilton and I talked about as we bring Paul in from down in the media room, Paul, was that if there was going to be any sort of miracle run here at the end, they definitely had to play better on home ice. The last dozen games, they finished 9-3. We know it's still going to be a little short, and maybe it's failures elsewhere, but to finish 9-3 at home, considering how this team has not taken advantage of home ice, that was a pretty strong finish.
Yeah, it was, and they flipped the script. You know, they were playing well on the road, not well at home, and then they started playing well at home and not well on the road. So they, you know, they flipped the script on there a little bit, but that's okay. I think you know, it was good for the fans to see them win 9 out of 12 games at home, and you know, more towards the 7 out of 9. Even in the 2 losses, I don't remember any booing at all. You know, just go play well. You know, just go play well. That's all you got to do. If you know, if you don't want to hear booing or chanting or whatever, just go play well. And you won't hear it. And that's what they did. You know, the 2 games, I know the 1 loss was against Winnipeg. The other loss escapes me in those 9. Those losses, I didn't hear boos. I mean,
sure you wouldn't have in the Toronto game, Paul, because they were all for the other team.
How did I forget? I told you I forgot the other one. How did I forget that one? I should have forgotten the Winnipeg game and remembered the Toronto one, but
yeah.
I'm the idiot that remembers the Winnipeg game and forgets that one.
The 3 losses were Winnipeg, the Ottawa game when they come back from the West trip, and then, of course, the Toronto game where there's 17,000 Leafs fans. Yeah. Yes.
So,
all right.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, that's what they have to do. And you heard that Jokke Haru got the saber sword after the game, and he apparently said that it's great to be winning at home again, but that's what we have to do next year. And just another thing to talk about when we do our kind of year in review for the pregame in Florida on Saturday, starting at 4 o'clock, by the way, before that we'll be starting that.
Yep.
And just one of the many, many things to talk about. And it's the home record. And, you know, you can't have for 2 years one of the worst home records in the NHL, which they did until these last 12 games, and expect to be a winning team. You have to defend home ice and get the fans on your side. And you do it by winning. You do it by playing well. You do it by competing. How many times did we hear before Christmas that they didn't compete? And a lot of times it was in this building. And you would hear it from the coach, you would hear it from the players, and you would hear it from the general manager. That's inexcusable. I mean, this is the National Hockey League. You should not need a coach to kick you in the butt to compete in the National Hockey League. And to me, that's just an individual thing. That is not a coaching thing. If you want to get on the coaching, there are other things you can get on. That's not it. Competing has to be something that's internal in you. And, you know, a lot of that was done in this building for the last 2 years until recently. And, you know, we'll see. It's a different season. You can't say, well, they can just pick up where they left off last year at home. Well, you can't say that, just like they didn't pick up just where they left off last year. And Oposo was trying to warn them about that, the captain, but they didn't listen. And, you know, he talked about it in training camp. He talked about it in the preseason. He's talked to me about that before. He goes, each season is different. You do not pick up where you left off. You just don't. You got some different players. And sure enough, they were into the, oh, you know, we'll just pick up where we left off because we were so good last year and we're just going to improve this year. And Kevin Adams thought that too. He told us that by the few moves that he made. He didn't go out and get forwards. He made a few on defense. Clifton was a good move. But, you know, they were thinking the wrong things, and it cost them a season.
Paul, it's just one or two thoughts on the game tonight. I want to start with Zach Benson. He hits 10 goals. I know you spoke with him at the end of the first period, and, you know, it's a really, really nice first year for him. In a year where we went into training camp, not even maybe thinking at all that he would be a part of this team full-time, and he ends up getting to double-digit goals.
Yeah, and that's why I asked Alex Tuck about that at the end of the first period.
That's right. Alex Tuck, he spoke with. That's right.
He's a guy, you know, who's been through all this. And, you know, to have an 18-year-old committing hit double figures that's not named Bedard or McDavid or somebody like that, you know, it's just a guy who wasn't even the top. I mean, the top three players in Benson made the league this year. And Benson was 13th overall. And to be able to commit and get double figures in the league and to be able to compete the way he does, smallest guy on the ice, but yet he's always in front of the net, and he's good at tipping the puck, and he scored more than just tonight's goal by tipping the puck in front of the net. So, you know, he's willing to do it. He plays bigger than he is. He doesn't get detoured. If he gets knocked down, he could care less. He just gets back up again. He's excellent at protecting the puck when he does get knocked down. When he's on the wall, guys might come in and knock him down, but he still protects the puck and, you know, can keep it. So I think he showed a lot this year, and I think it does mean something that he got to double-figure goals as an 18-year-old.
Paul Hamilton with me, Brian Colziel, here on our Upstate Honda Dealers postgame. Sabres win the home finale 4-2 over Washington. Two games left, Florida and Tampa, both of those on the road. Paul Jack Quinn, you spoke with him after the game. He gets the game winner on a nice skill goal scorer play, the long toe drag to create some space, and then the real nice shot there. Quinn did tell you, Paul, that he didn't feel like maybe quite up to speed fully coming back after his second injury. You know, what a season for him, dealing with two really major injuries. He obviously has to be a big part of this team going forward next year because he does have a lot of offensive skill.
I chatted with him about that after the last Washington game where I thought he really looked good. The first time I would have said that since he had come back. And I did a pregame with him, and he agreed that, you know, it just kind of kicked in for him there. And he did the same thing in Dallas, if you remember, and scored the goal. But unfortunately, Darlene knocked the puck down at the blue line with a high stick, which really had nothing to do with the goal. But it was a pretty similar goal with the way Quinn handled it. He didn't have a defenseman screening for him in Dallas, where he did here in Buffalo. And then, you know, with that deadly shot that he has, you take the goalie's eyes away or even let him come through the slot like that. And, you know, Washington just kind of stood there and looked at him. I, If I were a Capitals fan, I would not be happy with that hockey team tonight. I really wouldn't. I mean, they just did not compete very well. I mean, they're right in the thick of a playoff race, and to play that poorly, I would not be happy if I was a Capitals fan to play a team that had nothing to lose and was out of it and to lose to them like they did. And good for the Sabres. I mean, to show some pride. They had just been eliminated the last game, and they came out and showed some pride and won a hockey game, and so good for them.
And it was costly for Washington, Paul, because we know Pittsburgh played Detroit tonight, and that game ends up being a three-point game. The Penguins win in overtime, so Pittsburgh gets two, Detroit gets one, and Washington gets nothing. So for Washington, this is a really, really bad night.
Yeah, it is. The Sabres paid Washington back a little bit for when Washington took points away from them back in November, when Buffalo should have gotten 2 points and Washington should have gotten none. And because of late goofiness, Washington got two and Buffalo got one. So, you know, they kind of paid them back a little bit there. I was pretty shocked at what I saw from the Washington Capitals tonight. And it wasn't like they were in a back-to-back situation or anything like that. I was surprised.
Yeah. One more thing, Paul, on the wild card race. You look at that group of teams and that, you know, we're fighting there. There are two teams, if we look at the last 10 games, that have separated themselves, and right now, no surprise that they're the ones holding it. The Islanders are 8-2 in their last 10, and the Penguins have points in 10 straight games, 7-0-3. Then you go to the Caps, Wings, Flyers. In their last 10, they have 3-3-2 wins, respectively. So it's been the Isles and the Pens that have really separated. How about that for Pittsburgh? Points in 10 straight, 7-0-3, for a team that I thought was dead, that was below Buffalo before this stretch started. They're really playing well.
No, they are. And, you know, Carlson, who hadn't scored in months, now has two goals in, I don't know if it's back-to-back games or 2-3. But it had been a long time since he had scored, and, I didn't like that signing for Pittsburgh at all. You know how I felt about Carlson. I thought, I just thought that was an anomaly, and people wanted the Sabres to pick him up, and I'm like, no, thank you. And, you know, first of all, I don't think he's a very good defenseman. He's an offensive player. He's a centerman, basically, playing defense. So, you know, I think that's first thing that I don't like about him is, yeah, he won the Norris Trophy, but he shouldn't have, because he's one of the worst defensive defensemen in the National Hockey League. He's awful on defense. He costs his team constantly, and I just don't need players like that. Pittsburgh went out and got him, and now he did come through offensively for them in the last two games, which is what you at least expect that to get the offense out of him. But defensively, it's just not happening for him, never has.
Yeah. All right, Paul. Well, two games to go here, both on the road. I was just mentioning before you came on that Florida will have something to play for. They are at 106, and the Bruins are at 107. And neither team plays tomorrow, so the game on Saturday for the Panthers, if they're trying to win a division title, is meaningful. And also, you know, depending upon how they feel about their first-round opponent, if you stay in second, you face Toronto, who has a lot of firepower. If you win the division, then you're likely going to maybe get Tampa or the other wild-card team, depending upon how the Rangers finish. So I think that's significant. I know the Leafs, you know, we like to mock their playoff first-round exits, but I'd rather sign up to play one of the wild card teams than face the Leafs in the first round. I think they just got so much offense. I don't know how you feel about it, but I think if I'm Florida and I'm Boston, I'm really trying to make sure I win the division.
I understand where you're coming from, but I've seen teams wear themselves out by trying to win the division and things like that. And then I've seen teams that don't. And I think Tampa on one of their Stanley Cup runs, they couldn't have cared less where they finished. And I think it's because home ice advantage has shown in the playoffs, it doesn't really mean a whole lot. The road team wins quite a bit in the playoffs. So I have seen teams really like go all out to try to get to first place or get here, get there. And then by the time the playoffs start, they're shot. And, you know, the other teams who just kind of played their game. If they win, fine. If they didn't, if they're sure they are in, I mean, they're not fighting to get in. And it's like, all right, let the chips fall where they may. It seems like at times they do better.
That's also, I think, a fact. I'll totally agree on the home ice. It almost feels like it's meaningless. I think back in the day when the buildings really had their uniqueness to it, and there was definitely, you know, you felt bad about you felt like you weren't welcome in another building, whether it was a lousy dressing room or crowd getting on you. Now every building's kind of the same, and you know, let's face it, for most road teams there, it's still kind of a luxurious life going into all these brand new buildings. So,
but what you said should make sense, you know.
Yeah,
it really should, but. For whatever, this is the NHL, so of course it doesn't make sense.
Yep, that's true. And I won't bring up the playoff format either at this point. We'll save that for Saturday. All right, Paul, thanks so much. Great job tonight. Looking forward to having our little season in review talk on Saturday on pregame at 4.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, great. Paul Hamilton with us here. Sabres win it 4-2 as we bring it back up here to the press box on the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show. All right, I mentioned Pittsburgh beating Detroit. Scoreboard here, that's a major, major win for the Penguins, not only to solidify themselves back into the wild card spot number 2, but to separate themselves from the Caps and the Wings. All right, for more on the scoreboard, we go around the league for the final time, brought to you by Alex's Place in Batavia. Oh, man, now I want ribs. Over to Jonathan Koziel with the scores.
Thank you very much, Brian. 2 games left still going tonight in Seattle, currently halfway through the first period. Kraken and Sharks are tied at 1, and coming up at 10:30, the Kings and Flames in LA. Finals from earlier, Devils beating the Maple Leafs 6-5 in Toronto. Auston Matthews, though, scoring 2 to get to 68 goals on the season. Senators beating the Lightning 3-2 in Tampa Bay. Panthers all over the Blue Jackets 4-0. Flyers beating the Rangers 4-1 at MSG. Final in overtime, Penguins beating the Red Wings 6-5, and the Islanders taking care of the Canadiens 3-2. That one in overtime as well. And the Winnipeg Jets take care of the Stars in Dallas 3-0. On to the Masters today. Bryson DeChambeau with the lead after the first day at 7-under. Scottie Scheffler just behind him at 6-under. There is some of the field, though, that did not finish their round. Mainly 2 big names, Tiger Woods, after 13 holes, sits at 1-under par, and Max Homa, after 13 in the same group, is at 4-under. Brian, back to you.
All right, play's going to start early tomorrow, 7:45 in the morning, finishing up round 1. Tiger had a good day.
Just 1 bogey?
1 bogey, and had some real nice up and downs on 10, 11, and 12 before he ends up finishing there on the 13th. I know we were kind of keeping a half eye on one of our TVs up here in the press box. He's going for the cut streak. He's off to a good start. Tomorrow, though, physically will be the bigger challenge. He only had to walk 13 holes today. Tomorrow he's got to walk 23.
Yep. And the thing is, too, hopefully the weather, obviously the weather today with the rain in the morning, and then it was quite windy throughout the afternoon. I think it's supposed to be quite pleasant the next 3 days, though. So hopefully the weather doesn't come into too much play. And like you said, though, with Tiger, basically can he walk that course as much as he needs to on Friday to get to the cut line?
Yep. All right. Obviously, I'll be excited to talk more about this Saturday. For those of you that are on WGR, I'll be a part of a 2-hour Tee to Green show on Saturday from 7 to 9. If you want a lot more Masters talk, we'll be live at Pendleton Creek Golf Club in North Tonawanda Saturday from 7 to 9 for a lot on the Masters and what we see coming up on Friday, tomorrow. Looking forward to a long, long day of golf, which is good. All right, so we mentioned the standings. Pittsburgh, with that win, goes to 86. So they're in right now. The Islanders look very good. They've won 6 in a row. They have 89 points. So they look to be in solidly. Then the Caps are on the outside looking in now with 85, as are the Red Wings and as are the Flyers. They all have 85. Buffalo, with the win, gets to 81. The most the Sabres can finish with is 85. If they do win these next 2 games against Florida and Tampa. There's your look at the NHL standings, brought to you by Native Pride and Tall Chief Cigars. Stand tall with Native Pride. All right, let's get some tweets in here from the fans as we get our ServPro. First response from the fans. ServPro of Central Buffalo's Team Luzzy responds first and faster to any size disaster. You can always send me your thoughts after each and every game at Brian WGR on Twitter. All right, let's go ahead here and read some tweets here. Let's see here. David talking about Zach Benson getting up to 10 goals this season. David says he's been a great player all season. He really has. It's been a great story in a year where almost, you know, we sit here. It's very easy to say that the forwards really, really were disappointing and underproduced. Most of them were. Not all, but most of them. Zach Benson, what a nice surprise. You'd think you'd get a bonus like that from a player like that, that that would have been kind of another push toward the postseason. But there was just too much in terms of the offense that was missing. Thompson, although I think he's back to his game here the second half of the year, way down on goals. Skinner's way down. Tuck's way down. Cousins is way down. You know, Quinn way down because of the injuries. You know, whether that's his fault, obviously it's not, but still, you've got a lot of goals that they had to make up for. And that's a big reason why these loser points never came. How many games did they drop? 3-2 or 2-1, and they just couldn't get another goal when they needed it. All right, let's see here. Let's read one from Jam Beamer, who says, I think this team needs to change around about half the team. There are too many people stale and used to the nonsense, and then the coach needs to go. They need to trade for a legit number one center and put Thompson as your number two. I think Thompson's good enough to be your one, but I wouldn't be against bringing in another one, and then maybe either Cousins slides to wing or even down to line three. I think you've got to revamp your bottom six for sure, and I think they still need to add to their top six. The D with the trade for Byram takes care of your top four D. If Kevin Adams comes back with Dahlin, Byram, Samuelson, and Power as your top four with Clifton and then, you know, fill in the blank, whether it's Bryson and somebody else, you know, a next, you know, kind of another signing here or there. I think I would live with that D core. And Lukanen and Levi, I'd be excited about them coming back as the one and the two in net. But the forwards is where I think all the attention needs to be spent on, whether it's free agency, whether it's trade, whether it's, you know, an immediate draft pick, somebody coming in. I think Buffalo has to really, really put all their efforts, a total revamp of the bottom two lines there, the bottom six for sure. And I would like a free agency signing to add to the top six. All right, let's read some other.
Do you want that top line to stay the same for the beginning of the season coming up?
Paterka has.
Do you want
looked,
Paterka to stay on the wing on the top line?
He's looked good. We know he has talent to score. He actually, in terms of finishing, has been better than Skinner this year. Yep. In terms of consistency.
I think you know, in retrospect, looking back at, you know, what we called the kid line last year, with Cousins centering Quinn and Paterka, Quinn being out the majority of the season really kind of hinders that. Obviously, they had huge chemistry previously, so, you know, do you try and get another top flight winger and reunite that line together? You know, you mentioned dropping Cousins down. Does, you know, is Zach Benson automatically in your top six next year? You know, not saying he's a, you know, a checking forward,
yeah, no,
per
I,
se.
I
but
think
like,
it'd
you know,
be nice if Zach Benson even didn't have to play in a top right. six role, for sure. Yeah, and as Paul always likes to say, you've got to have another line that's hard to play against. I think Greenway can play that style for the most part. I would like two more guys to go with him for that. Mirror Man chiming in saying, this is the best home stretch that I can remember in a while. He's referring to them finishing 9-3 here. Would have been good to actually strung some good home efforts together earlier in the season, but I guess you have to find some silver linings somewhere else. Yeah, finishing 9-3 is good. They have to be better at home. Let's see. They end up their home record 21-19-1. So, you know, you count the OT loss as kind of like a half a win, half a loss. 21-19. It still has to be better.
Am I putting you on the spot here? You have the standings in front of
you. Yeah.
Say the Sabres got 1 point against Dallas. They get regulation win tonight. I mean,
that'd be 82.
They're not mathematically eliminated tonight with the Pittsburgh win, though, right?
They would not be. Well, the most they could get to, if they got a point against Dallas, that'd put them at 82, which means the most they could get to is 86. Pittsburgh's already there at 86. Then it comes down to regulation wins, and Buffalo would, at the moment, have the tiebreaker.
Considering they'd have to win out.
They'd
still.
Have to win out, yeah. I mean, you'd be in a scenario where Pittsburgh can't pick up another point.
Right.
So it still would be, you know,
very,
zero point whatever right. percent. You still have to go 2-0 against two very good teams and Pittsburgh can't pick up a point in their last three, yeah, you're still probably talking like 1%.
And that's just one of the teams.
And that's just one of the teams, right. If the Caps win another game, you're done. If the Wings win another game, you're done. If the Flyers win another game, you're done. Yeah.
So that one point
add all that in, and it's probably definitely like 0.1%.
The 1 point at Dallas, when you sit there and go, just extended another game, it reality is, like kind of Paul said, it was over a few games prior to that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the two Detroit games here, the one in mid-March and the one just last weekend, we go into those games with the, like, hey, this is a huge game. You win tonight, you're within. It was the first time it was within one, and it was this time it was within two, and both times, or I'm sorry, maybe it was within two both times.
Yeah.
And they scored one goal and one goal both times. They were both power play goals from Thompson. So nobody else, kind of came through in those games. And the Sabres gave up 3-3 because the one was a 4-1 loss with an empty, and the other one was a 3-1 loss. So it's not like Lukanen played poorly, where they're like, you lost by giving up five or six. Nope. Your goalie gave up three in a huge game. It should, again, should that at least get you to overtime? It should in the NHL. But they have not done a good job of that this year. Look at the loser points for the teams that are in these postseason right now, that are in this race. The Islanders have 15. The Penguins have 12. The Capitals and the Wings have 11. The Capitals and the Flyers have 11. The Wings have 9, and then Buffalo with 5. Even if you just bring them up to the next lowest level there, which is Detroit with 9, that's 4 more points. And guess what? The Sabres have 85, and they're right there with that clump of teams. One out. I mean, shoulda, woulda, coulda. There's so many things we talk about this year. What if they had a power play? Rasmus Dahlin said that the other night. He's like, if we had a power play this year that we could count on, he's like, we'd be in the postseason probably. I'm probably right. What if they started first periods better? Phew, that's how many games? We could sit here forever and go through all those games. What if they were better at home?
And that's starting first periods better isn't really even though they didn't score very much in the first period, it was about how much they gave up in the first period too. Like, you could sit there and say the goal differential was a lot, but it was more so those games when it would get out of hand 10 minutes in, and that wasn't necessarily like, they would get down 1-0 all the time. Yes, at home, you were almost guaranteed to give up a goal in the first 5 minutes for whatever reason for a lot of these games here, but it was just a huge goal differential in the first period, and obviously they were good in the third, but they were always pushing to come back in most of those, so... goal here, goal there, you stop a wave of a momentum from another team and, maybe you get that extra point in overtime,
I agree. All right. Well, before we say goodbye to everybody here at KeyBank Center, I want to give a big shout out. I don't know if he's listening on his way home, but, Tom Maddy, our engineer, does
all season long,
just does an amazing job for us here at KeyBank Center. Tom, if you're listening, thank you so much on behalf of all of us here up in the press box that, you make us sound so good. Myself, Jonathan here, Pat Mullicaro, who's, overdoing Bisons now, of course, who's with us throughout the majority of the year, Paul Hamilton. You do an amazing job getting us on the air, making us sound good. We know even sometimes we're moving booths up here in the press box, and you do a phenomenal job getting us set with post-game and pre-game and all the connections to have us have live locker room sound and, everybody getting to hear the anthems and the public address and all of our guests. So,
and we simulcast the broadcast too, so we're always syncing up with TV. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that the crew here, me as a producer, I know some of this stuff back here. I can run the broadcast back here, but all the setup Tom does is incredible, and it's a specific talent that he has that not a lot of people can do, that's for sure. And we always appreciate the morning text when he says, "Hey guys, everything's set up down at the arena."
We know he checked everything for us.
We give him the thumbs up, and
it's very comforting coming down here. Well, for me, that's not.
Yeah, we both have other jobs. We come from other jobs, so we're rushing right down here.
Yeah, so I mean, for me, that's not as knowledgeable. You're more knowledgeable than I am on this, Jonathan. But like, just knowing what it takes, I've got all these signals and headsets and cords, and you've got all these and this board that all so well, and Tom just does a great job. So, Tom, Eddie, if you're listening, great job. Thank you so much.
Every year, forever.
We hope that Tom will be in here to produce some playoff games for us here next season and for us to broadcast some playoff games for you here. So, and listen, if you're a regular listener on your way home from the building, from KeyBank Center, if you're a season ticket holder or, if you attend a lot of games and you listen on your drive home from KeyBank Center, we really appreciate it. We're hoping to give you more games from this building this year. I know for the last 13 years that hasn't been the case, but maybe next season that'll be an opportunity to we would love to do an extended post-game show till like 1 a.m., 2 a.m. after a playoff game like we used to back in the day. So hopefully that'll be coming
soon. The post-post-game show.
The post-post-game show. That's right. That was fun. So anyway, Tom Maddie, thank you so much. And to our producers back in our Amherst studio, I know Evan DePasquale is on the board tonight, and TJ Luckman, who's done a ton of games this year as well. Evan and TJ, thank you very much. They also do a ton of work behind the scenes in Amherst in our studios, getting us sounding great and playing all the technical things that go along with the broadcast. So thank you both for that. And here at KeyBank Center, you heard my brother, Jonathan Colesiel. Jonathan, thank you. And
yes.
Pat Malacaro, who is with us throughout the majority of the year before he goes over to his Bison's play-by-play job. And to Paul Hamilton, our reporter, thank you very much. And you know what? Got to thank, of course, Dan Dunleavy, Rob Ray. We love working with them. We especially love the radio-only broadcasts when we get to chat with them even more. But, you know, a great scene up here. Thanks to Nicole Hendricks and Chris Durkin and everybody with the Sabres PR staff for their help here. During our time at KeyBank Center, helping you try to give you the best broadcast we can. However, we still have two more broadcasts to go, both of them road games. So we'll be on the air Saturday at 4. Paul and I will kind of do our season in review. We'll have an hour pregame to get you ready for the Sabres and the Panthers. And then, of course, Monday night they finish off Game 82 in Tampa. I'll talk with you Saturday morning, T to Green, 7 to 9. We'll have a lot on the Masters. But until then, have a good night here from KeyBank Center as we want to say goodbye here on the Upstate Honda Dealers postgame show. Thanks to Evan back in our studios, Jonathan and Paul here, Tom Addy, our engineer, and for Dan and Rob, I'm Brian Colesiel. The final again, Sabres 4, Capitals 2. Talk to you again soon right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network. Good night, everyone.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.